Appreciation to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then can you just appreciate our worship team for leading us into the presence of God? All right. There's a couple of things that I missed earlier as I was taking care of the announcements, and we're going to get into God's Word. But I do need to let you know that for those of you who wanted to attend Joe Whitaker's funeral, it's tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Evangel Pentecostal Assembly on the south side. We're about to get our women's ministry going formally. They've been running for a year and a bit. And so she's leaving now as I'm about to bring them in. And I'm wondering if the women's ministry team can come at this time. And, Oh, she went to get... Okay, all right. So we're trying to get all of our ministries up and running, and we've got these ladies that volunteer to give leadership with this ministry, and I thought that today would be a fitting day for us to officially introduce them. There's one person missing. That's Nicole Dagmar, okay, and... Dagmar's term is coming to an end at the end of the month because she's the liaison for the board. But I've asked Mary Jane to give leadership to this group. It's been on our heart, and so I thought that we'd give an opportunity, but to bring some ladies around her along with the ladies that she already had, and to see if we can set in place a women's ministry team that can really connect with all the different ladies in the church, the young, the old, all, whoever, and just connect with them. And so Nicole is missing and Dagmar is missing, but this is a formal women's ministry team. And I'd like to just ask you to pray for them and to pray over them. And I'd like to bless them today and release them. Hey, Catherine, would you join me for this? Yeah. Yeah, come on up. This can be a tricky ministry. Any ministry can be a tricky ministry. You got to get it right. So I'm wondering, Catherine, if you don't mind maybe just saying a prayer of blessing over these ladies as they're starting, that there'll be unison and togetherness and spiritually alert and all the things. I mean, you know what ministry could be like. So would you do that? Be so kind to do that for us.
Father, we just thank you for this group of women who are committed to lead in women's ministry. Father, we ask that your hand would be upon them and that you would bless them, that you would give them guidance and wisdom for the needs of this community, the needs of our church, and the needs of all those who will be coming through our doors. That, Lord, that you will give them unity and strength, that you will give them new insights into women's ministry, that their hearts and minds and lives will be refreshed, that you will give and pour your anointing, a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, of all the things that they will need. And Lord, we pray for the unity of the Holy Spirit, that when they have disagreements, that you will pour guidance and wisdom in how to find resolutions within and those who come, who are needing something and who are desperate and are discouraged. Whatever it is that's going on in their lives, give the women wisdom in how to reach those who come to them. And Lord, I pray for the anointing of leadership. May the Spirit of God pour upon them in leadership. Lord, if we've ever need a group of women to demonstrate the power of Christ's leadership, we need it now. And we pray for this group, as you've called them, that you will do your work. In Jesus' name.
Ladies, Oh, just hang on. They want oil. All right, just hang on. They want to be anointed. I anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go forth and take on this challenge. All right. Well, how are you doing this morning? Amen. You doing good? Excellent. I have a word for you today. Are you ready for the word? I have a word for you. Have you been in the word all week? Have you been reading your word in your week? All right. If you haven't been in the word, you're missing a lot. You got to be in the word. Make me sound good, son. Make me sound good, okay? I need your help. And maybe give me some spare batteries in case this thing goes down. If you would turn with me to the book of Exodus. It is a familiar story, but I want to put a different twist on it today. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a different twist. It's a different twist. Amen. You know it. It's an old story, but I want to challenge you with some things today. When you find it, say amen. All right, and we're going to go from verse 11 to 20. And for those watching by way of the internet, I'm wondering if someone will come to the microphone and read real loud so it records really good and people can get it. Amen. Any volunteer to read God's word today? Somebody with a nice, clear voice. Mary Jane, come on. All right. Excellent. All right. So remember, you got to look good. You're on camera, okay? All right. Okay.
I'm bought and paid for by the Lord. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. O Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, there is the sound of war in the camp. Moses replied, it is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it into powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it.
All right, let me see those Bibles. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning from the subject, hold on to your testimony. Hold on to your testimony. Look at your neighbor, eyeball to eyeball, and say, neighbor, it's very important that you hold on to your testimony. Well, we live in a time where there seems to me that more and more of God's people are being confronted with difficult circumstances, and when those circumstances arrive, God's people seems to lose their testimony. And let me illustrate for you. I used to work with a guy a long time ago before I even got in the ministry. And on the way to the job site, we would have all kinds of gospel music playing and all kinds of things. He even told the people on the site what a Christian he was. But if something went a little south on the job site, out of that same mouth would come some of the worst cussing you would ever hear. And so it was difficult for that individual to hold on to his testimony because he was confronted with difficult circumstances. Now, we know this story, but before we get into it, let me talk to you a little bit. What is a testimony? A testimony is a statement that you give about something that is true. If you go to court and they say, would you testify on behalf of so-and-so? It's an accurate statement of events that have taken place. For the Christians, it's not only a testimony of what God has done for us and where he has brought us from, but a testimony also has to do with how we live our lives from day to day. You and I are living testimonies. And it's important for us to hold on to our testimony. We're going to show you in a text a man who did not hold on to his testimony. But God is still a good God, no matter what has happened. And so I want to point out some things to you today. And so we're going to get into this text. And I want to challenge you to hold on to your testimony, because it says a lot about you. It will let people know really who you are. And people will only know really who you are when you're backed up against the wall and when you're under pressure. Somebody said Christians are like tea bags. You never know what comes out of them until they get into some hot water. Hold on to your testimony. I've been around church long enough where I've seen some godly people who haven't even left the parking lot, had a wonderful service, and they are steaming mad. The church. I've seen some situations in church. I've heard stories of pastor dragging board members by their foot in the basement and all kinds of different things. You got to hold on to your testimony. Hold on to your testimony. At the time of our text, Israel had left Egypt, and there took them 3 months to get to the foot of Mount Sinai. You know the story. Stay with me. Let me give you the context. They had been there for an estimated 3 months. They, the people, had become frustrated with life at the bottom of the mountain. And I could understand if you're stuck in one place, knowing that that's not where you're supposed to be, knowing that you have left one destination, heading to a different destination, and you're stuck in the middle with no sense of purpose or no sense of direction, I could understand why somebody would become frustrated. You and I in the same situation would become frustrated. They knew that their final destination was not the foot of Mount Sinai. They had a promise from God for a better place. That place was, and you know the story, the land of Canaan. They wanted to keep moving forward, and there is nothing wrong with that. In essence, they wanted change. They wanted transformation. And there is nothing wrong with people wanting to have change in their circumstances. And in fact, change best takes place when the people desire it in their hearts. When there is no desire, there will be no change. I can change all I want, but if you don't desire it, we will never see it come to pass amongst us. And so like Israel, many of us can see where we have come from, and we have an idea of where we are, but we know it's not where God wants us to be, because he wants more for us. And we ought to get to our promised land. Stay with me. That's not what I want to talk about. Now, how do you experience transformation when you are in this kind of a situation where you feel trapped, where you feel stuck, and you have no direction? Because it's in this kind of situation where what's inside of you really comes out. And then if you're not holding on to what God has put in your hands, you will lose your testimony and you will drop your assignment. Hold on, I'm coming now. Just bear with me. When the people saw that Moses was delayed from coming down from the top of the mountain, the people assembled. Assembling is not wrong. They took matters into their own hands, which is not always wrong if the plan and the purpose is to do it God's way. But oftentimes when people take matters into their own hands, it's not God's way, it's their way. And their way always leads to sin and destruction. I wish I had a witness in the church this morning. The desire for change came when the people began to feel neglected, Brother Joseph. They began to feel frustrated, and they began to feel stuck. And nobody likes feeling frustrated, neglected, or stuck. And as long as people are satisfied with their present condition, change will never come. A desire for change led the people to congregate at the foot of the mountain. If you are sick and tired of your circumstances, you have to have an internal desire to want to change your circumstances. Nobody is going to do it for you unless you decide to do it for yourself. I wish somebody who knew what I was talking about this morning. And so we find in the text that desire led to action. Unless there is desire, again, change will never come. As long as we are happy with where we are, change will never come. Now, let me fill you in with some details. I can understand the people becoming frustrated if this was the first time that Moses had gone up in the top of the mountain. But when you read the text, you discover that this was not the first time that Moses had left them and went to the top of the mountain. If you read Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, Moses is up in the mountain by himself. In verses 8 of the same chapter 19, he's again by himself. In Exodus 17, verses 17, he led the people to meet God. In verses 20, Moses is on top of the mountain by himself. In 24, Moses and Aaron are up on the mountain. Exodus 24, 18, Moses is up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. In Exodus 24, 14, Moses and the elders go up. And then Moses alone goes up. 32, 31. And then if you read Exodus 34, verses 2, which is our text, we find that Moses is again at the top of the mountain. So this was not the first time that Moses had left the people at the foot of the mountain and gone up to the top of the mountain. This is my thinking. If they knew that he had left before and spent 40 days and 40 nights and came back, why would you not think on this occasion he would not come back? And so it says to me that people sometimes can become frustrated because they are so self-centered. They knew what Moses had gone to do. They knew that he was up there getting instruction from God. But they didn't want to wait on God's instruction. And it's a terrible thing when God's people, whom God has delivered and brought out of slavery and delivered, don't want to wait on God for his instructions and tries to take matters into their own hands. It'll become a disaster if you don't be careful. And so in the text, the people, we notice that the people had expectations of their leader that he did not know about. They had a timeline as to how long Moses should spend with God. It's a dangerous thing when the people start deciding how much time the leader should spend with God. Because if he's going to lead them in green pastures, he needs to spend time with God. But the people felt it was too long. And it's a sad thing when the Church of Jesus Christ don't feel that the preacher should spend time in the Word of God, receiving God's Word and instruction for their life. If he doesn't spend time with God, how can he speak God's Word into your life? You need to have time to get into the Word of God. So if you have the preacher busy doing this thing and that thing and that thing, how can he effectively minister to you if he doesn't have time to spend time with God? The people felt Moses was too long in God's presence. I want to talk about the people today. I'm going to talk about Moses now. And so they had some unrealistic expectations. We notice that the people told Aaron, come make us a god who will go before us. And don't put us off any longer. Sometimes it just tells me that people don't pay attention to what God is doing in their lives. They can be in the presence of God because he's on the top of the mountain and he's brought them out of Egypt and slavery, but they're so self-centered. Why would you want to make a god that got eyes and can't see, got ears and can't hear, got a mouth and can't talk, and would want to trust that more than the real God? And you know, there's much hasn't changed. Church folks are like that. Some guy that's preaching the Word of God legitimately, Pastor Allen, trying to do things right, ain't trying to rip nobody off and fooling around with the sisters or nothing, struggles to grow his church, but you got some tyrant who ain't got no Bible knowledge, gets up there in a huff and a flash, spews out all kinds of nonsense, and everybody's following him like he's the best thing since sliced bread. I don't expect too many amens on that. We notice that the people felt the need for divine presence and leadership, and this is always a good thing. If there is no desire for the presence of God and the leadership of God, transformation will never take place. You want to see change in your life, you've got to desire God, you've got to spend time in God, you've got to go before God, you've got to submit yourself to leadership and watch God transform your life. And so why would you settle for less when you've had God's best? They've had God's best but chose to settle for less. Now think with me. God brought them out of Egypt. He demonstrated his power with various signs and plagues, pillar of fire by night, pillar cloud by day. The people, we notice, wanted to be led. And again, this is a good thing. The people had a form of godliness, but no power. You can't make a god to lead you anyplace. Either he is existent or he isn't. They seemed opposed to a leader who delighted himself in the presence of God or desired the things of God. When Moses came down from the mountain previously, he brought back God's word to the people. Why would the people who've experienced the miraculous hand of God in the past now turn against God when the situation was not favorable to them? Why would they not want to wait on the Lord for his direction and his purpose? Now, let me say something here for you. When they congregated at the foot of the mountain, Moses' brother, who was not a leader, God had elected Aaron to be a mouthpiece for Moses because Moses had a speech impediment. Am I right? But they left Aaron with the people. He was not a leader. And he should have said to the people, don't take your jewelry and make a burnt offering. But he wasn't a leader. And it's a sad situation when you put people in leadership who don't belong in leadership because they can't lead. All right? It's a dangerous thing when you put people in leadership that don't belong in leadership. So here is the point that I want to get to. So Moses comes down. But before Moses comes down, when you read the text of verse 8, God tells Moses, now this is important, Audrey. God tells Moses exactly what the people are doing. So think with me. When he gets to the bottom of the mountain, him and Joshua here singing. Should Moses have been surprised by what he saw if God told him already what they were doing? Now, just bear with me now. I'm fixing this real good. When he gets to the bottom of the mountain, he says, I hear singing. And they said, it sounds like victory. But Moses said, that don't sound like no victory. And it sounds like war. But Moses said, it don't sound like no war. They just singing to be singing. And when Moses heard the singing and saw the sacrifice, he did not hold on to his testimony, even though, Gina, he had been forewarned what the people were doing. And the Bible says that Moses burned with anger and he threw his assignment to the ground. You don't know when to shout. Moses was filled with anger. Let's talk about anger for a minute, because the Bible has a lot to say about anger. In a nutshell, anger is a very good emotion. Jesus got angry, but he didn't sin. Anger is a good emotion because it tells us that something is wrong, and it's there to protect us, because when you see injustice, you want to do something about it. For example, this same Moses one day saw an Egyptian and a Hebrew having a fight. And when the fight was over, what did Moses do? He killed the Egyptian and he hid the body, hoping that nobody would see him. Do you think Moses has an anger problem? When you go over to Numbers chapter 20, God tells Moses, Moses, go and speak to the rock. What did Moses do? No, before he hit the rock, he called the children of Israel rebels. He says, you rebels, you look at it. He called them names before he spoke to the rock, and he didn't speak to the rock. He hit the rock twice. And God said to him, because you've done this thing, you shall go to the mountaintop, look over, see the promised land, but don't enter in. Let me talk to you for just a minute. Now, I've heard lots of sermons on this particular passage of scripture. Which is more dangerous, to have someone in leadership who shouldn't be in leadership leading God's people, or have someone who's called to be in leadership but full of anger? Which is more dangerous? Neither one of them are good. Neither one of them are good. And so my encouragement to you is to hold on to your testimony, because it will enable you, or it avoids you from boiling over in anger. Now work with me here. When Moses comes down from the top of the mountain, where is he coming from? He is coming from the presence of God. How long has he been in the presence of God, church? 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? When he comes down and he hears singing and he sees what the people are doing, everything that they did caused him to lose his cool, even though he had just come from the presence of God. Is this the way somebody who's been in the presence of God should operate? Well, thank God, he's gracious and merciful. Now, as I'm preparing the text, something dawned on me. And I got to give Moses credit for this, because he hears the singing. And the text says that it's just singing. And I said to myself, if they can make a God who has got eyes and cannot see, and make a God who's got ears but cannot hear, and got a mouth that cannot talk, then why can't you and I serve notice on the devil with our singing, Because we serve a God who can do everything for us. They had a God who couldn't do anything for them. Couldn't get them up in the morning, couldn't meet their needs, couldn't turn their situation around, and yet still we come into church and we've got a God who can do anything for us, and we can't get nobody to open up their mouth and give God some praise. Something is wrong if you serve a God that got eyes to see and ears to hear, and you can't say a little hallelujah. You can't say a little thank you, Jesus. You can't say glory to God because you shy or because you so in pain. But if God is your God, you ought to shout your praises to God. You ought to serve notice on the devil. And God doesn't want you just to sing to be singing. He wants you to sing because you are serving notice on the enemy. You are singing because there's a fire burning down in your belly. Because the enemy did not destroy you this past week. Because he didn't take your kids. The enemy didn't run you off the road. You ought to sing because God woke you up in your right mind. He continues to provide. He continues to supply. He continues to do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. And they were just singing to be singing. But church folk, you ought to sing because you are serving notice on the devil. Serve notice on the devil. Moses said, they're making noise. And God said, make a joyful noise. They were singing, but it wasn't singing in faith. It was singing because of habit. And there's so many of God's people that sing on Sunday morning just because it's on the overhead or because the worship leader tells them to sing. You sing because you have an anointing for warfare. You ought to sing because you have anointing for worship. You ought to sing because there's a song in your spirit, and you don't know if God hadn't been on your side, where would you be? I want you to make a joyful noise the next time you come into a celebration service. You don't have to know C sharp or D sharp or B flat. You don't need to know any tones or inclination. Just open up your mouth and let the praises become the melodious melody and sing unto God. You ought to point your sound in the direction of what God has just delivered you from. Sing to God who's got eyes to see. Sing to God with ears to hear. Who can talk to? Who can talk to you? If they can sing to God who can do nothing for them, then you and I ought to let our praises go up without anybody telling us to lift our hands or lift our voice and sing praises unto God. Why is it so hard for you to lift your voice and to make a joyful noise? There has to be transformation. Number two, hold on to your testimony. It avoids breaking your assignment. I'm going to take my time on this one, Nolan. Because he allowed what the people did to affect him. The people who didn't call him. The people who didn't anoint him. The people who don't empower him. He allowed what the people did to affect him. In that moment, they became his God. Because for any time you direct your attention. So anytime you direct your attention and thoughts to anything can make you who you're not, that becomes your God. While I can't control what you do, I can control how I respond to what you do. God had placed an assignment in Moses' hands. God did not tell Moses to drop his assignment. He was to come down from the mountain with the assignment and read it to the people. But when he saw what the people were doing, Moses dropped his assignment. And you know what, church folk? There's a whole lot of you that God's called to serve. Some of you used to be elders, but you saw and heard what people did, and you're not an elder no more. Some of you used to sing in the choir, and because somebody looked at you the wrong way, you've dropped your assignment. Some of you used to be involved, and you've dropped your assignment, but God did not place an assignment in your hands for you to drop it. If God is giving you an assignment, fulfill your assignment and hold on to your testimony. What he heard and what he saw caused him to break his assignment. Don't allow people to make you so angry that you destroy what God has placed in your hands. Don't allow people to make you so angry that you destroy what God has placed in your hands. This is what the enemy is after. Christina, he's after your assignment. And he will use people to get under your skin so that you can drop your assignment. But you need to understand that the people are not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy, but he uses spiritually immature people to cause you to drop your assignment. Hold on to your testimony. Someone used to sing, but they dropped their assignment. Someone used to testify for God, but they dropped their assignment. Somebody used to come to prayer meeting, but they don't pray no more. Somebody used to testify about the goodness of God, but something happened and they don't testify no more. I came by to tell you today, hold on to your assignment, because what God has placed in your hands is for you to fulfill his plan and his purposes. He knows your weaknesses. And if you allow the enemy to get to you, he will use people to destroy your assignment. The enemy wants your assignments, huh? But don't drop your assignment. God was not pleased with this, as seen in scriptures, because God made Moses replace the tablets later on in scripture. There's consequences for our actions. But I want to challenge you today. Don't allow nobody to make you drop your assignment. Hold on to your testimony. Now, point number three, and I'm coming to close. When you hold on to your testimony, it avoids broken relationship. Now, when we look at the text, I was a little concerned about why would Moses take the golden calf made out of gold. And the gold that they made the calf with was given to them when they left Egypt so they could have possessions with them. But Moses takes this golden calf. It was on an altar. And of course, you can't burn gold for it to turn to dust. It might melt. But the text says that he burned it up and took the ashes and place it in the water that the people had to drink. I looked Pastor Allen theologically through all the best theological resources I got, wanting to know what in heaven's name was the purpose for this particular act. And I couldn't find one author that clearly stated what this particular act was for, but I let my imagination roll. And I've got some things I want to share with you. Why would Moses want the people to drink this ashes and to drink this water? I did discover that once he put the ashes in the water became bitter. I did discover that. So he wanted the people to drink some nasty stuff. And the only reason I could conclude that he wanted the people to drink nasty stuff is because he was so angry and he was so bitter that he wanted them to have a taste of what he was experiencing. When you get to the place where you're so bitter that you want people to feel what you're feeling, you need to examine your heart a second time, because something is really, really wrong. When you get to the place that you're so angry that you just want your pung the flesh, something is really, really wrong. And he's so bitter and he's so angry that he wants them to taste it. But then I began to let my mind roll just a little bit. I discovered that if they burned the golden calf and the altar and the wood and all that sort of stuff, that it symbolizes also how quickly this God that Israel wanted can be destroyed versus the God that was on top of the mountain, who always was and always shall be. And I don't know about you, but I don't want no God that's here today and gone tomorrow. I want a God that is at the beginning and the end, yesterday, today, and forever. The other thing I discover, now I'm a little graphic, now work with me, He wants the people to drink this bitter water. But listen, if Ed, the more you drink, the more you have to go to the bathroom. A couple of things comes to mind. If they drink the bitter water, the taste will be in their mouth. I begin to, Jan, remember some things. When I was a kid, growing up in the Caribbean, they used to give us some stuff on the weekends to wash you out. And some of that stuff was nasty. And I don't know about the Canadian folks what you did, but castor oil, corolla bush, that stuff is bitter. Santa pat on salts, it's griping your belly all day long, just ruins a guy's weekend. But the thing is, once you get it in, you want to get it out. And I believe the text tells us that if the people can get it in their mouth and taste it, they would be less likely to want to go back there again. But the other thing is that if you take it in, you have to release it. All right? And the reason, if the children of Israel drink this water in and it's bitter and they don't release it, the bladder will get full. And you know that the laws of nature dictates that whatever you take in has to be passed out. So if they keep taking in but not passing it out, what do you think will happen after a while? You will end up in a situation where you become uncomfortable. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm reffing a game, a high school game. And of course you have to stay dehydrated. It's the last 3 minutes of the game and I have got to go and release myself. And I am in the back umpire and I'm moving and I'm dancing and I've got everything going on. And 2 minutes before the game is over, the coach calls a timeout. Oh my word. You know how uncomfortable that is. But here's the thing. If I did not get to the bathroom in time, what's inside of me would have come out in an inappropriate place. When you take in bitterness and you don't release it, it comes out in inappropriate places and amongst inappropriate people that you don't want it to come out. This is why some folks will not get to the parking lot and they're spewing bitterness because they're supposed to release it. Now, the appropriate way to release something is to go to the bathroom and then you flush the toilet and you turn your back on it. The reason stuff keeps sticking around is because people won't release it. They're living with stuff since 1942. They won't release it. They won't turn their back and walk away from it. And as long as you keep harboring it, it'll be there as a reminder for you. And you will be miserable. And you'll be bitter. And you'll be uncomfortable because you don't want to release it, but it's designed to be released. I ain't getting too much amen on that one. I love the modern day toilet. I don't want to be too graphic because you got lunch coming up. But when you finish doing your business, they have these toilets today that you don't even have to touch a handle. You just walk away and it takes care of itself. I want you to know, if you want to get healing and you want to have deliverance and you want to help, I believe somebody's got to turn their back and walk away. You've got to release it and then turn your back and walk away. And Moses wanted the people to experience this. But that's not how the story ends, Elva. Even though Moses had an anger issue and he lost his testimony for just a moment, if you read the text a couple of chapters later on, God tells Moses, go and get me a couple of other tablets, because God does not penalize us because we drop our assignment the first time. He's the kind of God that would allow you to pick up your assignment and keep moving forward. I don't care. I'm glad today that God does not take away our assignment, Pastor Dan, because we have failed failed because I would not be here today. But I thank God that he keeps giving me back my assignment time and time again. When I've fallen, when I've gone into sin and I've gotten into difficulty, he keeps giving me back my assignment. He said, Moses, come on now. I want you to go and lead the people. I want you to fulfill your assignment. I thank God that he keeps giving us second chances so that we can keep fulfilling our assignment and keep moving forward and accomplishing his will and his purpose and his plan for our lives. And you may be here today and you may have dropped your assignment out of anger, but today is a good day to pick up your assignment and start serving God and start leading wherever he wants you to lead and follow where he wants you to follow and go where he wants you to go. He's got plan and a purpose for your life, new hope. He doesn't want you to stay in bitterness and anger. He wants you to release it. He wants you to turn your back and walk away and pick up your assignment and keep moving forward. Hold on to your testimony. Hold on to your testimony. Hold on to your testimony. When you hold on, my friends, to your testimony, it'll avoid you boiling over in anger. It avoids you breaking your assignment. And it avoids broken affection. Moses wanted the people to feel what he's feeling. That's not of God. You don't have to get your pound of flesh. God doesn't want you to do that. He just wants you to pick up your assignment and move forward. New Hope, there's a lot of people sitting in churches today who've dropped their assignments, and they need to pick up their assignment and move on, because what God has placed in your hands is for you to accomplish. It's for you to accomplish. Hold on to your testimony. People should not make you do anything that you don't want to do. If you get mad, it's because you choose to get mad. Nobody can make me angry. I choose to get angry. No one can make me angry. I choose to get mad. The choice is mine. The control is mine. And I'm not going to let nobody force me to drop my assignment. God has called me to do what he's called me to do, and I will do to the best of my ability, but you will never get under my skin and cause me to drop my assignment. We've got a lot of people sitting in churches today with a lot of hurt. They've lost their testimony. Twyla, would you come back to the piano if you're still here with the praise team? I want you to prepare your hearts today, New Hope. Are you like Moses? Did God place something in your hands some time ago and you dropped it because of other people and broke it because of other people? It's a sermon with a different twist. Are you so angry that you want people to taste whatever you're going through so that you can get your pound of flesh back? Are you releasing the anger and the bitterness? Because if you don't release it, it'll come out in inappropriate places and amongst inappropriate people. And the best way to release it is to find the appropriate place. In the natural sense, it's a toilet. But in the spiritual sense, it's at the foot of the cross. The altars are open for you today in New Hope. All of us, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, can relate to Moses. But thank God, God doesn't leave us in our state of bitterness and anger. He gets us to move forward. The altars are open. It's time to release the bitterness, because better is coming. It's time to release the bitterness, because better is coming. If you don't release it, it'll continue to come out. People will ask you a simple question, you snapping at them. Why is that? No, character defect. There's some stuff on the inside that needs to come out that you won't release. Would you give God an opportunity today to meet you? Says 11:10. I still got a good 45 minutes to go. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you give God an opportunity today? Is there anyone in this congregation that is free from bitterness? If you're free from bitterness, remain seated. But if you're not free from bitterness, You need to find your place at this altar before God, to pick up your assignment and move on. If you're so angry that you want the people who made you mad to get a taste of what they did to you, you need to be at this altar. Folks that are on the altar ministry team, would you come at this time? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gail, pick somebody that you like and they'll pray with you. One of these ladies. Awesome. Have you dropped your assignment? Have you broken your assignment because of people? Why don't you give God an opportunity today to release it? Release it, release it, release it, release it. Get rid of bitterness, get rid of anger that makes you lose it, so God can do a great work in your life of healing. Because if you don't release it, it comes out anyway, but in appropriate places. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. You got a song you can sing for us at all? No? Sure. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Sion. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the living God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. New Hope, you're going to release it or you're going to keep it? It'll come out anyway. Release it. Get that bitter taste out of your mouth.
His name is wonderful.
Wow.
His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
Oh, New Hope, you gotta release it. You gotta release it. You gotta release it.
Of everything.
If you take it in, you gotta let it go.
His name is
Thank
wonderful.
You, Jesus.
Jesus.